Welcome to Hannah's Heart.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
No matter who we are, we can be inspired by the fact that Hannah took her pain to God and God heard her and was with her.
So when she was praying at the temple, she had been weeping and not eating, and her lips were moving, but her eyes were closed, and the priest was like, why are you drunk at the temple?
Yeah. It can become an obsession when you want a child so deeply.
And desiring that baby and to be a mama. Every holiday, every Mother's Day.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome. But this is a show that says, however God answers your cry, we know that He's enough.
Hey, I'm Ann.
And I'm Kendra.
And thank you so much for coming on and listening to Hannah's Heart today. We are a radio podcast, radio show.
Radio show,
sorry,
and podcast.
And podcast that's really started by focusing on couples struggling with infertility and miscarriage. And like we've said many times before, now it's just grown to more than that. And so today we're definitely still going to be talking about infertility, mm-hmm. but maybe not God answering our desires like mm-hmm. we feel like we want them answered. You want to introduce our guest?
That's hard. That's hard. That's real.
It is.
Real walking out the Christian life. Infertility, yeah. I feel like, touches on so many issues in your heart that really, we've talked about how the Word of God divides soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and God uses these difficult seasons that we're in to really test us. Yeah. But before we get into all of that, we have some in-studio guests.
We do.
Sheila and Ben, wave. For those of you that are watching, which you can watch us, you can see them waving on camera. They don't know where the camera is. They're like, hi. They came all the way from Pennsylvania.
We're in Mississippi.
I know. That's a long way. What, 14-hour drive? Some Hannah's Heart listeners. And we have some connections. I didn't even realize. We went to school together. We just figured this out for 1 year we had that crossover at Asbury.
And the world got smaller.
It got smaller immediately. So we're getting ready to hear their story later today. So
Later today, me and Kendra get to hear their story.
Yeah, Ann and I, exactly.
But
It'll probably come to you at some point.
Y'all go ahead and prep yourselves for a call and conversation.
Exactly. But we also have an on-the-phone guest calling in today, and she is also a longtime Hannah's Heart listener. We have Julia Crouch, and so kind of how this came along, Julia has been listening, and she heard one of our episodes talking about stepmoms and how sometimes the desire to have children may never come, and has just learned a lot personally, and she wrote in, and we got into this awesome conversation. I was like, you've got to come on Hannah's Heart and share all of this, because this is so
sharing her heart.
Yeah, exactly.
Just being honest with us. And I really appreciate when listeners feel like they can call in, write in, you know, whatever, and just share what their thoughts were and their heart was about the shows, whether they completely agree with everything that was said or whether it's a little different. And so.
Yeah, and this is an older, someone who's walked through infertility for a long time, not someone who's in the thick of it right now, but she's kind of made her peace about the journey and where God has had. And so it's nice to sometimes have somebody who the end, like when you're in the middle of it, you're like, I don't know, will this end in a baby? Will it end in adoption? But here's somebody with a perspective that she never would have expected and is so in love with Jesus. So Julia, welcome to the program.
Thank you. It's so good to be with you. It's such an honor. Yeah, it's interesting that you say that I've come to peace with it because, you know, that's a struggle. In fact, a couple days ago, I was awakened in the middle of the night and I thought to myself, I can't go on this show. I can't do this. I can't do this because I know that part of what I want to share is the truth of God and the truth of His promises. And yet the struggle is so real. And even for me, as I can look at these things, you know, I often joke that the distance between the head and the heart is a million miles, you know, because we can know truth, but, making sure it is deep-rooted in our hearts in such a way that we can truly find peace, I think that's a journey. And that's one of the reasons, as I wrote to you, I used the term journey because I'm not sure any of us, I know at least for me, maybe I should speak just for myself, I've kind of come to peace with the idea that it is a journey and that there will be days that my childlessness breaks my heart again and just overwhelms me with emotion. And then there'll be other times when, you know, the Lord is so gracious, and there will be times when I walk and I think, okay, today I sense peace. Today, I'm clinging to the truth of God and the promises of God and the goodness of God in the midst of it all. But I have not perfected that.
Wow.
And I talk to other people that go on this journey, that's one thing that I think is important for us to understand, that, I'm not sure there is an arrival, a point at which, other than the moment we step into glory and we see Jesus face to face, and then every pain and every tear will vanish. It will all make sense. We will have perfect peace then. But on this side of glory, I think it's important for us to really cling to the wisdom that God gives us about how to walk through life circumstances that aren't necessarily peaceful.
Right.
How do we do that in a way that brings glory to God and allows Him to do the work in our life that we know He wants to accomplish? How do we come alongside Him and cooperate with the Holy Spirit to bring about those things in us that He's trying to accomplish? That's what's most important, really.
Well, I want to get into the nuts and bolts of how you did that, but first, let's go back, and can you give us just a short update version of your story? What was the journey of disappointment with childlessness like for you?
Yes, sure, thanks. My husband Danny and I, we just celebrated our 25th wedding anniversary, so we were married 25 years ago. The Lord has protected and provided within our marriage.
That's a big deal these days.
That is huge.
Yeah. When he and I married, there's a little bit of an age difference. He's about 13 years older than I am, and I was about 30 when we married. He actually had four children from his first marriage, and his marriage, to his great regret and heartache, had ended in divorce. And so he was raising his four children that were teenagers at the time that he and I met. They were a little bit younger, obviously, when he went through his divorce, because it had been about 5 years. And so, anyway, he loves being a dad. That was one of the things that impressed me right away about him, was that the things on our first date that he was most excited to talk about were his children.
Love it.
But anyway, he did not want more children.
Mm-hmm.
And I, frankly, right or wrong, I looked at that situation and I thought, you know what? He is dealing with so much pain. He had come from a broken family. He never wanted that for his children. His children were still hurting. He was still hurting. And I looked at that and thought, well, of course he can't possibly consider how beautiful adding children to this family could be, because he's exhausted and he's still recovering and trying to repair and rebuild and things like that. So in my own heart, in my own mind, I really anticipated that we would get to that point. That while in the moment he could not imagine having additional kids, I just thought, Lord, he just needs to heal. He needs a helpmate to come alongside him, to support him, to help, take care of the home and take care of work and take care of all the things that that are life that he was carrying on his own. And that just never came to be. He never changed his mind. And though I pleaded and pleaded with the Lord, and every month went through that emotional whirlwind. I know your listeners know that oh, maybe this will be the month. Maybe this will be a month. I kept waiting for the miracle, thinking, the Lord has placed on my heart this desire, my whole life, this strong, strong desire to be a mom. And surely it'll come to fruition. Surely it will happen. This is just testing my patience, which is frankly almost non-existent anyway. So I could see that the Lord needed to teach me some of that. And so walking through those months that turned into years, even today, I'm now 55. I'm past childbearing years. I'm past even child adopting years. It's hard for those words to come across my lips of, I'll never have children of my own. I'll never be a mom in that way. And so, that's been our journey, and our journey is rich with blessings. The Lord has been, again, so gracious and so protective. I have a wonderful relationship with my four stepchildren. We have 11 grandchildren. We have two great-grandchildren. And so I am surrounded by a beautiful, supportive, loving family. And yet I still walk that journey of the heartache of not having had children of my own.
You wrote something to us to kind of help us keep on track of what you wanted to share. And you wrote that the number one point that you wanted people to come away with was that knowing the character of God is the ultimate foundation for your spiritual health.
Absolutely.
And so let's go into the middle of, like, you have this great desire and you're calling out to God, Lord, would you please do this in my family? Would you please change my husband's heart? And God is just, you know, seems to be saying no, 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 no. Did that make you doubt the character of God in any moment?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And for me, that's part of the lesson, I think, is why knowing the character of God is so absolutely essential. Because I think it's human nature. I think any of us that walk through hard times, whatever those specific circumstances are, it's in our DNA. It's our human nature to say, well, you know, does God love me? Does God care that I'm walking through this? Does God hear my prayers? This isn't fair. Mm-hmm. You know, all of those human emotions that make us question the goodness of God, question the character of God. And so, yes, I walked through that and walked through deep seasons of just anger. You know, how could this be happening? I know you all have said on your program before that, you know, wanting to be a mother is a good thing. It's an honorable thing. And so I had all those kind of arguments with God and frustration of saying, you know, I'm wanting to do something good. I want to be a mom. I want to love another. I want to nurture another. I want to raise another for your glory and point them to you. All of those things are good things. Why is this not happening? And so again, I think part of the lessons that I am learning is that knowing God is so absolutely essential because God's character is defined. Who God is who God is from eternity past for eternity moving forward. And if we as fallen, broken, hurting, sinful people try to determine the character of God based on our interpretation of our current circumstances, we're going to mess it up every time. Because we are going to start to think, is he unloving? Mm-hmm. Is he uncaring? Is he not compassionate? Does he not hear me? Is he not involved? We're going to naturally start thinking those things. And so it's so incredibly important that we don't start to assume that we get to define who God is. We don't. God is defined, and God is loving, and he is perfect, and he does care, and he does hear us, and he's involved in every intimate detail of our life, and nothing goes without his knowledge. Nothing happens outside of his sovereignty, and he is utterly trustworthy.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And so all those kind of broken, human, sinful emotions start to flood in, we have to be equipped and we have to be prepared to combat that with truth and to say, I know my God loves me. I know that God cares what I'm going through. I know that God works together all things for good because I love him and I'm called according to his purpose.
Mm-hmm.
All of those rich promises, that's the only thing that can usher in peace. Because otherwise, we're lost in this hopelessness of a God who doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
an uncaring God is not the God we serve. So to usher in this idea of peace that surpasses understanding, it can only happen when we know the character of God. And we know that from his word. We know that from studying his word, opening the Bible, and allowing him to reveal himself, because he does. He's such a gracious God in that he wants us to know him. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want to be distant. And so within his word, we start to see all of these qualities and characteristics of him, that he is powerful and merciful and compassionate and loving, and that he's in it for our good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think back, I know all of us have come alongside a teenager, for example, whose parents give them everything they ask for. You know, they've got the new car and the perfect clothes, and they get to go on the best vacations and all that kind of stuff. But we can see when a parent does that, it doesn't always go so well. You know, suddenly you have a kid who's spoiled and entitled, and their character is flawed because they're getting everything they want.
Yeah.
Well, God's the perfect father. And so even knowing that he's not so concerned with giving me everything I ask for, thankfully, because we know how that can turn out, you know? I could be a spoiled, rotten Christian that just demands what I want from God and expects him to do it. But instead, he's concerned about my character. He's concerned about my, even my holiness, being conformed to the image of Christ. And so when we know that about him, it gives us a different perspective. You know, we can look on life circumstances as painful as they are, and we can start to grasp a little of what God might be doing in the situation.
Yeah. During this time of, for you, childlessness, were you able to find peace in parenting your stepchildren? Like, did that come through your heart? Was it good for your heart?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I've often heard Jade, you know, your other co-host, talk about this, because she, too, is a stepmom. And I'll tell you, my role with my stepkids has not been one that I think of as parenting, partly because they were a little bit older.
Yeah.
I mean, the youngest one was 13 when Danny and I got together. And so, and their mother is still in the picture.
Gotcha.
So, I was kind of in that situation where, first of all, I didn't know how to be a mother. Who knows how to be a mother to teenagers? I don't even think mothers that birthed them know how to be. but I sure was ill-equipped for that. You know, I wasn't prepared to be a mother, really, to teenagers. And they were all hurting. You know, they had just been through this horrific, they were hurting. And so, you know, those first few years in particular were quite hard. Mm. And God's been faithful, and we now have wonderful relationships. Mm. But for whatever reason, because I screwed it up and I didn't know how to be a good stepmother, or because of just the hurt and the circumstances or whatever, there wasn't a lot of that kind of close mothering, feeling like I could nurture them and that they loved me and, you know, I loved them and all that. There wasn't that kind of satisfaction that came in those first years of our marriage.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
So how did God for you redirect that desire? Because I feel like if God puts a desire to nurture in you, then there's someone that he has for you to nurture, whether it's your biological children or stepchildren or Sunday school class. How has he redirected your heart and helped you to find fulfillment?
Yeah. Well, he has in many ways. I'm very active in my church. I do children's ministry at church. Mm-hmm. I love my grandchildren, so that's been, you know, just incredible. And they've all been born since I was in the picture, of course. So it's never like I was the step, you know, because I was around from the very beginning for all of them. So that's kind of added a fun dynamic to the relationships there, you know. But I'll also say, Kendra, that part of what I've kind of come to peace with is the idea that he might not do that. I haven't found what I would say is a replacement. Mm-hmm. I have some friends that don't have children that have said, oh, I get such satisfaction from my nieces and nephews. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, I have found that my work in the church just, that has given me what I was yearning for and things like that. I haven't gotten to that point. And I've kind of come to peace with that because I look at, for example, Paul, the Apostle Paul in the Bible, where he talks about the thorn in the flesh. I'm under the impression that his pain never went away. I don't think that at some point in his life, all of a sudden, whatever that thorn was, all of a sudden it was no longer an issue for him. I think he had that until the day he stepped into glory. I think that was something he carried. And yet the Lord says, my grace is sufficient for
you. Amen.
Yeah.
I was just about to bring up that verse because answer to that. He's asking, take this away, take this away. And his answer is, my grace is sufficient for you?
That's right.
Wow.
That's right. I've kind of come to a little bit of peace with the idea that this pain the Lord could take it away in an instant. And I want to be sure that I will cooperate with that. It's interesting, there's the story in the Bible about the lame man who the Lord heals. You know, he'd been lame for, I think it's 38 years. And it's so interesting to me because he says to the man before he heals him, he says, do you want to be well? And that has struck me with the idea, because I think sometimes life's hurts for us become our identity.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes,
it's like we almost cling to them like, okay, this is who I am. This is my thing. This is, you know, I don't want to be that. I if the Lord is willing to heal me from this and take away this pain and take away this desire, I want to cooperate with that. And I have prayed for that, but I haven't yet experienced that.
Mm-hmm.
And so again, part of the journey for me is coming to the peace that says, His grace is sufficient.
Mm-hmm.
And today may be a day when I walk through and I'm teary-eyed all day.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe this is a day when that pain is heavier than it might be on other days. And then I'll have days when it's like, wow, this is just, you know, thank you, Lord, this has been a great day. But I look at it and I think to myself, I truly believe that's part of how He is using these circumstances to mold and shape me again,
mm-hmm.
to help my character to become more, He's conforming me to the image of Christ.
Mm.
And I even look, you know, I was thinking about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, where He's agonizing about what He's about to face. And yet He says, not my will, but yours be done.
Mm-hmm.
And so Jesus has modeled this for us perfectly. It's not necessarily that we get to the point where we're like, hey, there's no problem, A-okay, no pain, this is great, I'm good with this. No, that day may come, but that day may never come.
Mm-hmm.
And if that day never comes, for us to still look at our perfectly loving, perfectly holy, perfectly sovereign Father and say, but not my will, but yours be done, then He has accomplished what He wants to in our life.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to cooperate with that and not go into it expecting that He's going to make this just comfy for me. You know, He may. Thank you, Lord. He's so gracious. He brings us so many wonderful blessings and gives us comfort in so many ways. But it may just be that He comforts us amidst the pain.
What you're sharing is so powerful, and I feel like you've earned the right to talk into people's lives because of your journey. And like, if you are able to say, I'm 55 and I still have this ache in my heart. God didn't take it away, but I still love Him and I still cling to His character and I still proclaim every day that He is good. Then those of us that are maybe earlier in our journeys might be able to say, you know what? There is hope. Maybe the hope isn't that, oh, I'll definitely get a baby. Maybe the hope isn't that I will definitely have this pain taken away, but my hope is in Christ and that He is sufficient. Like that scripture said, like you are, if you can do it and can believe it, I think that gives us so much more confidence to lean into that character of God. But you also mentioned in your notes that just for kind of the spiritual and emotional health and mental health when you're going through a grieving process, that there are some practical things that you can do to be able to accept God's goodness in your life in other areas. Maybe He's not meeting that need of, Lord, I really want a child, but there's other ways that we can kind of block ourselves off to the goodness of God. Is that right?
Oh, amen. Surely. Absolutely. Yeah. And I think we have to be careful about that because, you know, oftentimes we talk about times when we have to kind of protect ourselves, like, am I going to go to that baby shower?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
can I celebrate with this friend who just found out that she's pregnant? And I do believe that there's time and place for boundaries, but I also think we have to be a little bit careful with that in that sometimes we just have to sacrificially celebrate.
Yes. I hear you.
And what I found is that when I'm willing to do that, there's joy in that. There is joy that comes from celebrating God's goodness for another.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
amen.
And failing to do that really is, it's that little spirit of envy, as much as we hate to call it what it is.
Sure.
You know, when I land in that spot where I say, I can't celebrate with this person because it hurts me too much, it's because I'm envious. It's because I want what they have. And so being willing to turn to the Lord with that and say, Lord, prune that off of me, chip that off of me as much as it's going to hurt and enable me to come alongside and celebrate your goodness in this other person's life, you know. And I think there's, in addition to that, and that you can't do that every time. I understand there's times we just have to say, Lord, I just need to be under the shadow of your wing, and that's the only place I can be right now.
Yes, yeah.
But even practical things like, you know, do get involved. It's so easy, so easy. And I say this because I've experienced it, where you just want to crawl in your cocoon and say, I just can't take life. I can't take this, everything around me. We've got to bust out of that. Mm-hmm. So whether it's practical things like get up and go on a walk, mm-hmm. That's another thing. Don't turn to things for relief of the pain that aren't godly relief.
Amen.
You know, so eating too much, eating that quarter ice cream or drinking or drugs or so many other things mm-hmm. that our culture says turn to when you hurt, let's relieve mm-hmm. this pain and here's how you do it. You know, I think we have to be on guard about that. Getting involved again, I've been so blessed with by my church family mm-hmm. and being active in my church, and because every day is a gift from God. Mm-hmm. Every day is a gift.
That's
every
right.
talent that we have is a gift from God, and we mm-hmm. are called to be good stewards. And so if we, walking through the pain of this, if we allow that pain to keep us from being good stewards of all the things He's given us, that's a problem. That's not us being obedient. So we've got to watch for that.
This is so powerful. Thank you so much. You have poured out your heart, and I just love how the Word of God flows out of you like a
it
river.
Does.
And you speak from so much experience.
It is my strength.
It is. It's a light to our path in times of darkness. Hey, thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing. And I know you're going to continue to be a light everywhere that God takes you because you know His character in a way that many people never will.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you. To God be the glory.
Thank you for coming on, and thank y'all for listening to Hannah's Heart. We'll see y'all again next week.